one day I was just thumbing through the New York Times, and way in the back part of the New York Times I saw this small item, prominent wheat grower slain. Somehow it triggered the idea in my mind, a crime, if one followed a crime from beginning to end.
That's Truman Capote explaining about the article he came across in the New York Times 50 years ago today. It was about a family that was killed in their rural Kansas home. The article itself was only about 355 words, but it inspired Capote to begin investigating that crime, and his investigation ended up becoming In Cold Blood, a novel, a journalistic, literary, nonfiction novel that actually almost created that genre. Joining us now is Patricia Cornwell. She's America's best-selling crime writer and a forensic pathologist herself. Also, true crime television journalist Bill Curtis. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
First, Patricia, can I ask you what is your personal connection to In Cold Blood? Did you read it young or as an adult, and what effect did it have on you?
I believe I first read that when I was a journalist, which is what I started out doing right after college, a very long time ago. And the book, I've read it several times since, and in addition to it just being gripping and incredibly chilling, it's just a masterpiece, as you were describing, of what I would almost call nonfiction fiction. It's a nonfiction that reads like a novel, and I think it's whetted the appetite, or it did whet the appetite, for our fascination not only into the mind of killers, but in reconstructing a blow-by-blow account of how crimes occur.
Bill, you yourself, when did you first encounter In Cold Blood?
I was in high school, and I was in Kansas, so really hit home there.
Yeah, and what did you think of it? It obviously must have made you more curious about this kind of topic since it's become your career.
Well, we were afraid. Everyone was afraid. It's sort of like in the neighborhood where a crime occurs. You say, oh, it couldn't happen here, but it did. And so, you know, here is a rural town, a citizen who is supposedly well off, the perfect American family, and all of a sudden shotgun, strangled, and death stalked the wheat fields of Kansas. And, of course, there were all these stories about this strange little man who came from New York City and befriended everyone from K-State to the KBI, the Kansas Bureau of Investigation, to produce this.
Patricia, you mentioned earlier that this whetted people's appetite to go into the minds of the killer. And, you know, I was just wondering, Thomas Wolfe kind of famously said about In Cold Blood that it was not so much a whodunit or a will they get away with it as one that promises gory details, he says, if you read it to the end. And I'm wondering, do you think that this fascination is for these gory details more? Or is it the fact that most people themselves are incapable of this kind of act and they're fascinated by the personality of someone who is able to cold-bloodedly slaughter a family of four?
Well, I do think that people are even more fascinated with these details than they ever were. The more they get, the more they want, not only on television, which Bill is more than a little familiar with, but also in literature. And I think that part of it is, I always describe it, that we're fascinated by what we fear. We all know that we're going to die. We don't want to. We're scared of it, and we're particularly afraid of violence. So we want to get close to it, but feel safe. And one way to do that is to watch things on television or read books where we get lots of details. And, of course, In Cold Blood is a perfect example of this because it's such a masterful and detailed reconstruction of what actually happened in that terrible case of the family being murdered, that you're riveted, and Bill's right. It must have promoted tremendous fear in the area where it happened.
Well, Bill and Patricia, I mean, the one character that isn't in Cold Blood is Truman Capote, and he didn't show up in the movie. And I'm wondering, how do you answer the notion that his whole methodology, Capote's, was exploitive? And you alluded to the deals that he made sort of with all the characters to produce this. And, novel, there means there's some fiction in there. As a journalist, how do you react to that?
Well, he did have masterful detail, right down to the cat walking across the street in Holcomb, Kansas, and going to the one restaurant so that you're painting a portrait. That is incredible. It also may have started this new fiction. Remember Gay Talese and Tom Wolfe in New York Magazine. One wonders, how does he know what people are thinking at the time? Well, you do detailed interviews. Now, Patricia has taken it to a power of 10, and gives us this marvelous detail of nonfiction so that, one, we believe it, and, two, she takes it to a depth which draws us in further. She's the queen.
Well, let's talk.
By the way, did I tell you all I'm a big fan of Bill?
Well, Patricia, let's talk for just a moment about what you write, because you're not just the author of the extremely popular Kay Scarpetta series, who also happens to be a female forensic pathologist. You also wrote one of the most famous recent books about true crime, which was Portrait of a Killer, Jack the Ripper, Case Closed, in which you say you solved the Jack the Ripper mystery. And that caused a lot of controversy, and In Cold Blood caused a lot of controversy.
Well, the big difference is I didn't have the luxury of getting to talk to anybody who's still alive.
Certainly.
Obviously, since the Ripper cases mostly are identified as being around the 1888 period and a little bit later than that. So that would have made a big difference, you know, if I could have talked to people who could have helped me reconstruct what really occurred. And, you know, getting back to what Bill was talking about, where you're reading people's minds, I will say this for me. I was very careful about doing that when I'm turning my hand to nonfiction. If I don't have reason to know what somebody was thinking or saying, i.e. through documents such as letters, I'm probably not going to go that far with that. I'm not going to criticize what Truman Capote did, however, because he may have pulled all kinds of fast moves to get his information, but then he probably had to when you consider the people he was dealing with, particularly the
right.
people who were accused of the crime.
Right.
The crime.
And he was kind of inventing a genre there. That's Patricia Cornwell. She's America's best-selling crime author. We also spoke with Bill Curtis, investigative journalist and star of two crime documentaries.
In Cold Blood, 50 years old. That's when the first news story appeared in the New York Times. I'm John Hockenberry.
And I'm Celeste Headlee. This is The Takeaway.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.